This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you today. Thanks for taking us along with you. If you're on your lunch break, make sure you download that radio.com app and you can take us with you anywhere you go. Katie's back.
Howdy.
She needed a whole day to get over being medium drunk at Mardi Gras.
To recover. It's the recovery day. I'm at that age.
Is that what it was?
Now.
You went to Mardi Gras over the weekend?
I did go to Mardi Gras.
And had company.
Oh. Yep. I had some people stay at my small little crib. They're from Kansas City and it was a great time. We had fun.
I can't think of anything I'd rather do less than Mardi Gras.
Me too.
Yeah, it was.
Although my wife lived in New Orleans for a little while, and she said,
"Oh, New Orleans, that might be a little different." Though
she said parts of it are really fun if you can stay away from the raunchy stuff. But she's never been to the St. Louis ones, and neither have I.
They're wild.
And I said, supposedly it's the second best in the nation.
That's what I heard.
She said, "Well, maybe we'll go some year, but we didn't this year."
It's crazy. This might be my last year because I'll tell
you.
Have you aged
to be done.
Out? You know. I think people my age are still going, but it's getting rough for me and my husband. I'm like, this might be my last time going.
Is it the recovery? Is it the getting ready and going out? Like, to me, the idea of getting ready and driving out and parking and then eventually having to walk to, I'm like, so done. Give me my sweatpants and a movie.
It's the whole shebang, because once you get down to the area that they're doing the parade, you have very limited options. Your cell phone battery is running out because there's so many people down there with you. So it's hard to get in contact if you're there with other people and groups of people. But also, since the parade is going on, you have to make a decision that if you want to be on the right side or the left side of the parade, because they don't let you cross.
Is it like Republicans on the right or the Democrats on the left?
It was like, war!
Which
this is Sparta!
Going? Yeah.
Sparta, Illinois?
Yes. Exactly.
I've heard they've got a pretty good celebration, too.
See, now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention a little event called Wardy Gras. Which,
oh, snap.
If you know about Mardi Gras, then you know about Mardi Gras. If you don't know about it, there's this little town in Illinois, and it's called Warden. And Warden people are my people. Hamel people are my people. Literally, my family comes from Hamel. So Mardi Gras is, you know, I'm going to say this, and some people who don't get it would probably say that's offensive to say it. It's like a redneck Mardi Gras, but it is a redneck Mardi Gras. And there's
time.
No shame in it. I mean, I saw pictures. It's a small town. It has, I don't know how many people. I don't think that there are 1,000 people in Warden. And it's farmland. They've got a bar. It's, you know, standard issue small town. Bar, church, post office. You can do business that way. You can take care of all of your problems that way with those three things.
Yep.
So and, is there a parade?
Yes. It's a massive parade. Go on Facebook right now and search Wardi Gras, W-O-R-D-I-G-R-A-S. It's a legit thing. That is more my speed. But then if it's cold, I don't want to be out in the cold. And this weekend for Mardi Gras celebration was like a heat wave practically.
Mm-hmm. In the 50s, the first time since I've been attending Mardi Gras festivities.
Oh my gosh, this is huge. The pictures, I had no idea this parade was that big. In Warden, Illinois.
Yep.
Wow.
There are people right now going, they're talking about Warden, Illinois.
Yeah,
Mardi Gras. No, I guarantee you we have a high percentage of listenership there in Warden. So I didn't go this year. I did think about it, but took care of some stuff at home. And it's not the same as Mardi Gras.
The front parade or the front float is a tractor. So
is it a perfect. Tricked out tractor?
This one doesn't look like it is.
Keep scrolling.
Okay.
I think I saw one that had like a John Deere with a lift and like monster truck wheels or something.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, yeah, those are my people. That's I got no problem roll. With that. So did you pay attention in the haze of Mardi Gras? Do you pay attention to news?
Sometimes. A little bit last night and a little bit Sunday night.
That's just because you had to.
Yeah.
You were trying to get back in the swing of things and you felt like you had to. Well, there's another Democratic debate tonight. And I don't know if I sent. Did you get the Joe Biden sound of him saying he's running for Senate?
You know what?
I didn't. I don't want to play it. I feel bad for this guy officially. And I tweeted it last night at Annie Fry Show if you want to go see it. But I tweeted it last night. I'm saying somebody tell me this is fake. Somebody say that that it was put together in a place that somebody took some words that he said and dubbed it over and I'm still waiting to hear that it's fake. But the presidency, you need to be as whip smart as you've ever been. And Joe Biden is not there anymore. I don't know where he was when he was vice president, but when the vice president decides to run for the presidency and the person who he was the VP under never comes out and says anything to endorse them, it's the worst endorsement he can have. And I haven't seen, I mentioned this about Joe Biden maybe last week or so, but Joe Biden, like the day he announced, that was peak Joe Biden. And then every single time he opens his mouth, every time he's in front of a camera or microphone, he takes a step down and takes a step back. The question is, and I truly believe that Joe Biden is supposed to be the savior of the Democratic Party and hence the country from two people, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. Because Bernie Sanders can't beat Donald Trump, and beating Donald Trump has to be the ultimate goal here. But let me ask you this. If you're in the Democratic Party right now, is it worse to lose to Donald Trump or is it worse to lose to Donald Trump with Bernie Sanders as the best you have to offer a socialist? I think that's way worse.
That's a good question because it says a lot. Either way, says a lot about the future of the party and 2024 and everything that comes after this year. I mean, that's assuming that Trump wins, which is not an assumption we should make, but it's setting up a very interesting future for the Democratic Party.
Yeah. I think the economy is good enough right now. I think things are moving well enough right now that people aren't looking at their lives and panicking, saying we need to do something different, except for the people who have been panicking since November of 2016 when Donald Trump won. And all the scary stuff, all the spooky stuff that was promised about what was going to happen if Donald Trump won the presidency, the market was going to crash, we're going to have a recession. Holy crap, that is the opposite of what has taken place here. So it's not Donald Trump is scary when you talk to or when you listen to Democratic pundits on TV or on the radio. He's a scary dude because they're working very hard to make him scary. But at the same time, if you take the politics out of it, if you spend your weekend at Mardi Gras, if you go spend a week at Disney World with your family, which you can afford because you had a little extra, you know, dollars in your pocket because the economy is doing well. More people are employed. More people are earning higher wages. More kinds of people are benefiting from this circumstance. When you go and enjoy what life is really about. Are you freaking out? I don't think people are freaking out. You're only freaking out when you're reminded to freak out, which you'll be reminded to be freaking out about tonight when the Democratic debate starts, which Katie, I'm going to have you remind me when that begins. That's what I actually want. I'll be sitting there falling asleep in my chair, holding on to dear life, trying to stay awake, and 20 minutes will go by and Katie will say something. It was about Joe Biden.
It was about Joe Biden. Do you think it'll be that energetic as it was the last time?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I do.
Because people watched last time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now you're coming off of that high where if you didn't watch last time, you heard everybody going, did you see the Democratic debate? So if they come out and decide to be all prim and proper, then they're going to lose the interest again.
I'm excited.
You know what else is interesting about tonight's debate is that this is the time of the race where you should be winnowing down candidates.
Mm-hmm.
They have more at this debate than the last one because Tom Steyer's in it. So there's seven instead of six.
Whew. I was wondering where he was. I'm glad he's okay. It is interesting. He is not going to fare well in that environment.
He's too nice or
something.
Bland?
Yeah.
Maybe bland. That might be the better word.
He's too Tom Steyer.
Mm-hmm.
Won't it be interesting to see what Bloomberg does? Like, if he comes out and he's just swinging like crazy, and you're like, he had somebody tell him what to do this time.
Yeah, he's going to be cutting people down like crazy. He's going to have to. I mean, if he's going to look up there, I'd look at Trump for a perfect example of this. If you're going to be that guy, like, if you're going to be Trump, you better be the best Trump up there. You better, if you're going to be an a-hole, which most people, I think, believe Mike Bloomberg is, they'll vote for an a-hole that can be Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's not Bernie Sanders, which is why Mike Bloomberg is not out of this. It might have felt like political suicide, what took place the last debate, but we have another debate tonight, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow the same way we talked about this one. And if Bloomberg hits a home run, I mean, just talk to Mitt Romney about winning debates and then losing elections. We have such a short attention span. So I intend to be watching the debate tonight. Might do a watch party or maybe tweeting it or something. Make sure you like the Facebook page to join me there this evening. It'll be in South Carolina. And if Joe Biden doesn't do well in South Carolina, he needs to go. He needs to go anyway. But maybe it'll be easier for them to tell him, you know, it's just math. It's not you. It's just the math, which always makes things easier.
Now let's get to the highlights.
Bernie Sanders says he's the Democrat best equipped to defeat Donald Trump in November, but Florida Democrats insist he's the worst equipped after Sanders' refusal Sunday night to thoroughly condemn the Cuban Revolution. His comments on 60 Minutes sent shockwaves through the nation's biggest battleground state. Democratic members of Congress,
Democrat. I kind of like it.
We'll just stick with that.
Yeah.
State legislators and party leaders tried to distance themselves from Sanders and warned that his nomination, along with Sanders' self-described democratic socialism, will cost them the biggest battleground state of them all.
A pair of proposals has been brought to a Missouri Senate committee that would restore ex-felons voting rights sooner. Currently, Missouri is one of 21 states where felons lose their right to vote until after they complete probation or parole. Under one proposal sent out Monday, nonviolent offenders would resume their right to vote as soon as they're released from prison. Another proposal in the same committee would put that question to a public vote. Former offenders regain their right to vote at the end of their time in prison in 16 states. Proponents point out that offenders are released and expected to get a job, but are then barred from casting a ballot until their probation or parole ends.
This is really dumb, and I can't believe I'm reporting on this, but Bill Cosby's spokesperson shared a lengthy note on the comedian's Instagram page criticizing the justice system for convicting Harvey Weinstein.
Well, that's where I was going to look for justice.
Cosby's spokesperson Andrew White released a statement on the conviction, and in it, he not only criticizes the Weinstein verdict, but the Me Too movement as well. Wyatt wrote, "This is not shocking because these jurors were not sequestered, which gave them access to media coverage and the sentiments of public opinion. There's no way you would have anyone believe that Mr. Weinstein was going to receive a fair and impartial trial." Dumb.
The Blues are back on home ice tonight. Winners of four straight and first place in the Western Conference. They'll host the Blackhawks at Enterprise Center. The Hawks have won just two of their last 10 games. They're in seventh in the Central Division.
Last night, the Illini hosted Nebraska.
They are looking better. Past four games, they've been fantastic. Yeah. They've won four straight.
Let's look at those. Let's just look at those games.
They've been very good.
Yes. They going to make the playoffs?
Better. Well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He scoffed at me.
About it.
Oh,
That part
yeah,
I don't
Annie.
Have a question about.
Yeah, big
where they
dummy.
Would finish was where I started to have some questions, because as I said, they couldn't keep the puck out of their own net.
What
they
was the show yesterday better. We talked about? Said you big dummy. What's that from?
Oh, that was Sanford and Son.
Sanford and Son?
Yeah, you big dummy. Yeah.
Yeah. Fred yeah, Sanford
Katie.
Talking to his
You missed one day,
kid.
And this is what we talk about.
Dang.
Talking to his son. What was his son's name?
Man, I don't remember,
Sanford
and I should.
Sanford Jr.
You should know this.
Yeah, Sanford Jr.
No, it's not Fred Sanford Jr. Last night, the Illini hosted Nebraska and walked out with a 71-59 win over
Woo!
The Huskers. Illinois is 10-6 in the Big Ten. Good for a second-place tie with five teams.
Do you do brackets for March Madness? If
yes.
my cute mm-hmm. little son tries to pitch you on that?
Sure.
Did you hear?
Is it online?
Yes. So did
because I don't hand fill out anything anymore.
No, who does? Oh, my gosh.
Because you don't need to know how
that.
To write things.
Did you? Were you here the day we were talking about selling things door-to-door? I feel
I
like you were out.
Gone, yeah. I think you might have been over at KMOX.
My son's 10U baseball team does a March Madness, like 50% gets split between the top three brackets, 50% goes to the team. They get to earn their uniform. So however many brackets
right.
he sells, it goes
yeah.
to his uniform. And I'm trying to get him to sell, like trying to get teach him this 10-year-old how to pitch things. And it's rough. Did you go around selling things when you were a kid? Like, I had to do Girl Scout cookies and fundraisers.
I did not sell Girl Scout cookies, no.
Why not?
No.
Boy Scout cookies? Do they do that?
I don't do cookies. No. I don't remember doing that, no. I mean, I remember there being fundraisers. We sold cheese, and I just kind of sold cheese to, like...
Cheese?
Yeah, he would go to the supermarket,
family
buy
members.
It, and resell it to
no,
his neighbors.
No, no, no. It was like...
What was the upcharge?
It was like nice cheese from Century Pride, and they came in a nice container. You sold it to their family. It's similar, like they sell wrapping paper now for schools,
yeah.
that kind of stuff.
It was
thing.
For a school fundraiser?
It was, yeah, fundraiser
but
for
you. Would you go to door-to-door or anything like that?
I don't remember going door-to-door.
Man,
no.
I did that. I went door-to-door, and I like went in people's houses. Small tiles.
You went in people's houses?
Without
yeah.
your parents.
Sitting,
yeah.
No, just
without
get
your
on
parents.
The bike,
sitting
go
on
sell.
The, sitting on
Come home
on the
with
couch.
A sheet full of cookie orders that we would then have to, my parents would. My mom would drive me around in the van to deliver them, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Just make laps back
Thanks,
and forth
mom.
For every
But
for every
she
order.
Wasn't sitting like right outside the house making sure you came out of the house okay?
Not when I was selling, no. Just
wow.
did it by myself.
There you go.
Sold magazines that way. That was a big fundraiser. Sold chocolates and stuff that way. I went to a Lutheran school, so we had
right.
to raise
sell,
a lot of
sell,
money.
Sell,
yeah.
yep.
And did you go to like people's houses you already knew, probably? You
yes
were going
and no.
To complete strangers. Oh, you're
yeah,
going to
no.
Complete
I was
strangers?
Going inside of complete strangers' homes, but that's everybody in
a
dealing.
A different time, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. I can't even let my kids play in my front yard without feeling like I have to supervise them anymore.
Well, you've got the shock collars on them, so they don't go too far, right?
I need the shock collars on the bad guys, or you know, the
they
40
won't,
that
they
I have
won't
in my
put
house.
Them on. Have you
right.
noticed we have new stickers on the
flags.
Mic flags?
Yes. Fantastic.
Really good.
Stickers. They look very nice.
You can tune in right now to the Facebook Live, facebook.com/AndyFryShow, and see our new logo on the microphones, which is exciting. It's starting to look a little more like what it's supposed to look like in
mm-hmm.
here. All right. We'll be back. We can take some phone calls as well. 314-241-9797. What do you expect to see tonight at the debate? We'll take that as soon as we get back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The response was when Fidel Castro first came to power, which was when? 59? Does that sound right?
59-60.
Okay. You know what he did? He initiated a major literacy program. There was a lot of folks in Cuba at that point who were illiterate. And he formed the Literacy Brigade. You may read that. He went out and they helped people learn to read and write.
Fidel Castro, is that all you need to know about him? Is that the summation?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Anything else that Fidel Castro did?
I mean, as far as I know from my public education, he was a decent guy. Treated his people pretty well. I mean, he tried to spread the wealth around, which I think is awesome.
Bernie's doing it.
That's exactly
that's what
right.
he's doing.
You know, Hitler was bad, but he really brought a sense of community that can't be passed up. We got to look at the bright side of these things.
I wish we had like a sarcasm bed just to make sure that everybody knew you're being sarcastic right now. I'm looking forward to talking with Jim Carafano at 226 because I'm going to ask him about this. Fidel Castro, what do the people need to know? Because if Bernie is speaking directly to a specific generation of people and they're listening to him, and they might be, Bernie Sanders might be the way people know about Fidel Castro or his version of Fidel Castro is going to be the way that people look towards what he was doing as a Marxist and as a dictator. I mean, I guess it's our education system that makes me the most nervous. And if you think that you're going to turn over what we do here in this country to somebody like Bernie Sanders, and if you think the education system isn't going to change even more from where it is right now, yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Here's another clip from Bernie Sanders, which floors me.
But your question is about a vice presidential part of the ticket. I will tell you one thing, though, is that person will not be an old white guy. That I can say definitively.
Why is it okay for an old white guy to be the president, but that the second fiddle should definitely not be? That's too many old white guys. Mm. I don't understand. Oh, it makes me crazy. I do not understand how you can employ in your head that an old white guy could not qualify for the position of the VP, but it's okay that you are for the presidency.
Right.
How is it that you don't hear how hypocritical you're being? And how stupid do you need us to be to be like, oh, well, he's right. Inclusive.
Right. Does it just need to be somebody who's younger than Bernie? Because if so, you could really pick almost anyone.
Yeah. Can it be a young white guy?
Could be, maybe. Maybe it's Beto O'Rourke.
Oh gosh.
It's funny that you say that, because I listened to a clip of him talking about how Donald Trump was really the same as Hitler. He's like, name a better analogy that I could use. And then he listed off of a bunch of reasons why Hitler was the best. Nazi Germany and Hitler were the best analogous beings to compare what we were dealing with here in the United States of America. How rude, to use another one.
There you go.
How rude.
Have mercy.
Exactly. I wonder how many of those we could work in a show. Katie won't even know that they happened because she wasn't here yesterday.
I wasn't here yesterday.
You know we're talking
missing
about.
The whole inside
she
joke,
looks
guys.
Blank right now.
The most famous catchphrases from shows, sitcoms. How ridiculously ignorant is it to throw out the correlations to Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler, the Holocaust, concentration camps? Every single time you use that as a comparison, you better be talking about somebody who's causing a genocide to remove people from this planet in a disgusting way just because you didn't like him and you thought you were better than they were. It has to be that bad when you use that analogy. Otherwise, you are so incredibly disrespecting the actual act of what happened in the first place. You cannot simplify or dumb down what took place in Nazi Germany. You can't do it, because if you start doing that, you're going to get to the point where you didn't see it coming the second time. But here we are, Nazi Germany. Well, Chris Matthews really doesn't want Bernie to get the nomination.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Really not feeling it. Made a Nazi comparison to Bernie and his supporters.
Before getting into tonight's news, I want to say something quite important and personal. As I watched the one-sided results of Saturday's Democratic caucus in Nevada, I reached for an historical analogy and used a bad one. I was wrong to refer to an event from the last days, or actually the first days of World War II. Senator Sanders, I'm sorry for comparing anything from that tragic era in which so many suffered, especially the Jewish people, to an electoral result in which you were the well-deserved winner. This is going to be a hard-fought, heated campaign of ideas. In the days and weeks and months ahead, I will strive to do a better job myself of elevating the political discussion. Congratulations, by the way, to you, Senator Sanders, and to your supporters on a tremendous win down in Nevada.
First and foremost, I commend Chris Matthews for understanding the error of his ways. I actually think that that should happen a lot more often. I have yet to hear CNN interviewing Beto O'Rourke about Beto's comparisons, saying, you know, well, why do you really think that this is CNN? Wolf Blitzer did say to Beto, like, you're getting a lot of flack on the right and some even from the left on these comparisons. Nobody is being forced to apologize when people make those comparisons about Donald Trump and his supporters. Nobody's looking at, they're like, yeah, but it's kind of true, you know? And it's ridiculous to what Chris Matthews says there about the irresponsibility of the comparison that he made. I'm not wanting to live in a world where, hey, if you're going to call Donald Trump Hitler and his supporters Nazis, then it's fair game if we do it for the other people. I don't want any of it. We should be better than that. So if I hate it when it happens to Trump, I don't want to like it when it happens to Bernie Sanders. So good on Chris Matthews for doing that. But how can we miss the boat so much to see that we have moved ourselves into a position where it's kind of easy to just make a Hitler comparison? Gross.
Terrible.
Have you ever gone through like a Holocaust museum or anything? Have you ever experienced that?
I don't think I have actually.
I was in Los Angeles with my aunt when she lived out there, and she took me into the Holocaust Museum there. And holy moly, it is a stunning and tragic experience. And it's one that I really do in my life in many ways. Like if something, news stories, if I'm reading a news story about a kid, something bad happened to a kid, I can't do it. The mom and me cannot stomach that anymore. And when I was working as the digital brand manager for the station here, I think, what year was Sandy Hook? Was that 2012?
I think so, yeah.
Good question. I would have said it was later than that, but I don't know.
When that happened, I think it was 2012.
Yep, it was 2012.
December of 2012. So I had almost 3-year-old and about a 6-month-old. And my almost 3-year-old was about to go to school. And I'm just thinking, like, reading these stories for the radio station for 97.1 and being on the digital end of things and, like, watching this information come in and having to be the person who would relay that online. I like, made a decision that day. I can't do this anymore. God, we haven't had a Sandy Hook kind of school shooting, but we've had school shootings. We just had from the Parkland shooting. We just had him on, what was it, late last week?
Yep, Andrew Pollack.
And he's suing the federal government right now because he thinks they should have done more. And that just happened 2 years ago. Two?
Yep.
Two years ago.
2018.
So it's painful for me to put myself in a position where I feel like I could like be there. I see the Sandy Hook story and I internalize it. When you go through a place like the Holocaust Museum and you understand the fear that these people lived in for absolutely no purpose, nothing that they did wrong. They just existed. They existed and somebody wanted them to not exist anymore. And not like didn't want them to be here. They wanted them dead to the point where they would walk them into big barns, essentially, and gas them to death and then pile them up and bury them that way. That is Nazi Germany. That is the Holocaust. That happened. It's real. Stop using it to make some sort of stupid political point that at the end of the day, 45 other people on your network or 45 other people that are in the same line of punditry you're in are going to make the same point. You're going to have the same end result. You hate the guy. You don't want him to have power, whether it's Bernie or Donald Trump. It's bad. We are not teaching the next generation how to speak about things that have happened. We are not teaching them history. And we are dumbing down history when you hear comparisons like that about other people in politics. No matter what side of the aisle you start on and no matter where you throw that attack, it's bad every time. So I commend Chris Matthews for coming out with that. I commend him for recognizing that, whether he recognized it on his own or whether the powers that be said, here's what you're going to say. He said it. I don't know who's going to take the lead on trying to clean up the vernacular because it's not in the near future at all. I'm sure it doesn't exist in 2020. But when I hear that, I don't want to see people react to Chris Matthews and say, but what about all the times that this happened? Because it's happened on both sides. It's bad every time. We should all do better. Let's take a quick break. If you have thoughts on this, I'd love to hear from you. 314-241-9797. I could take some phone calls on this. Mark Cox is going to join us at 1:25. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about the debate coming up. And I watched the Michael Jordan speech from the Kobe thing yesterday. I remember I saw it when it was on in the studio, but we didn't listen into it. And it was an amazing, amazing speech. Might talk a little bit about Kobe as well. So stick around. We'll get to your phone calls on this. Tom, you're up first. If anyone wants to join, 314-241-9797. You can also watch us on the Facebook Live cam, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, and on your radio.com app that goes anywhere you do. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is doing what every other major country on earth does. I live, Jane and I live 50 miles away from the Canadian border. Somehow they managed to guarantee health care for every man, woman, and child in that country at half the cost that we spend per capita. Is guaranteeing health care to all people as a human right a radical idea?
No! That's like a really good classroom when... My 3-year-old daughter has zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. That's what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to shut up.
That's cute.
And they all zip their mouth, close, zip it, and then you lock the key, and then you put the key in your pocket. So then it's like really shut up time. Mm-hmm. That's not how those people talk. If I say in my house to my daughter, zip it. Then she'll just lock it, put it in your pocket, and then she giggles. And I don't have the same effect as her teachers have on her, apparently. But they have all of these, like, cues. These teachers have these cadences, and the kids say it, and then they do things. Like, if you clap twice or something, your wife is teaching.
Clap once, if you can hear me. Clap twice, if you can hear me. Yeah. And now you got their attention.
Because then everybody's clapping.
That's so smart, yep. Though. That's so smart.
And I've hung out with
Annie. Do that in here on Fridays.
Yeah. Off air, when our families have hung out, when Annie yells out, is universal health care a human right? All of our kids, both families yell,
whoa!
Yes, they are.
No.
Which is weird.
No.
314-241-9797 if you want to give us a call. I'm going to take Tom's call here first. Tom, thanks for giving us a ring here.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
First time caller on this.
Thanks.
Probably the biggest problem we've got in this whole election cycle, and the reason Bernie Sanders is probably getting so much push, is the younger generations, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, younger 30-year-old kids, were never taught what Nazism was, what communism does. You know, I had to explain to a 20-something what Pearl Harbor was all about.
Nice.
He's graduated from a local school district, and I'm like, you were never told what Pearl Harbor was about? Says, no, they just said some boats sunk. And I'm like, you're kidding me. You know, and it's, they don't understand it. You know, my father was a World War II vet. I have an uncle who was a World War II vet. You know, they got to go through some of the death camps after, you know, towards the end of the war. These young people do not have been denied history lessons, and we're bound and determined to repeat what's going on. You know,
Tom,
my biggest fear actually isn't that what's going to is if Bernie Sanders gets elected president of the United States, you're going to see a civil war.
Well, Tom, thank you for the phone call.
Very
I appreciate
sure of it.
Thank you for calling in. I do appreciate it. I send my kids to a parochial school, but the public school district they're in is a very good school district. But I feel as though, and this is more for faith reasons for myself and my family, that I know what the kids are going to learn at school. I know what they're going to be taught. I know what they're not going to be taught. And I'm comfortable with that. And I don't feel as though I need to scrutinize, you know, every page and every book as much because of that. But that's, you know, if you're not Lutheran, although you certainly don't have to be a Lutheran to go to a Lutheran school. I went to Lutheran schools with Baptists, Catholics, people who really weren't practicing at all, and all had great experiences with it. When you go to a public school, there are certain things that you're going to get, you're going to be told. I know that it's specifically in the state of Illinois, part of the history curriculum now is LGBTQ history. Like, they have to be taught. Schools have to meet a certain specification of that. And, you know, I think you can have an intellectual conversation about the importance of that without having to talk about whether LGBTQ people are, like, okay or worthwhile. I think that the idea of teaching history and saying that George Washington was heterosexual, kids don't need to know that.
Right.
Like, it's not the predominant thing that makes a historical figure a historical figure. So does that mean that if you were making putting together a history lesson and somebody, you know, if Ellen DeGeneres were to come and be somehow or another be a part of a pop culture type of lesson, I don't know how it would fit in, but she is somebody who has really changed the way Hollywood operates. She had a show. She decided to come out on her show to the show's demise, but she decided she wanted to do it. Went into a pretty dark place in her life and now probably has the most successful talk show on TV. Mm-hmm. I don't know that she's successful because she's a lesbian, but does that need to be part of the conversation? I send my kids to a parochial school where sexuality is handled in a very different way than in a public school. But to have that concept of we're going to have classes that are centered around LGBTQ history, you can teach that stuff at home and you can handle it at home however you choose to handle it, because that's what we do in the United States of America. Turning that type of thing over to a classroom, to have a teacher who every single different teacher in a classroom has a different perspective on life. They have different things that are important that drive their own personal life. They're going to have different perspectives on, and especially when you're talking about history and science, any of the issues, the lessons that you're going to teach in there, they're going to teach what the state tells them to teach, but you don't know where it's coming from with the specific person. Where do we measure, where do we draw the line on what we encourage people to teach in the homes and what we rely on professionals to teach in the classroom? I think that in the midst of, I say this a lot with my husband, whether or not people are cool with the LGBTQ movement. And is this, do we have that cut from?
We sure do. Yep.
I'm going to play that when we come back, because there's this woman who's a lesbian. She has a YouTube channel. She, is this Vanessa? Is that the cut 21?
It's 13.
13. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to play it when we come back, because okay, it's its own conversation entirely, but she's a lesbian and she really is tired of people taking the LGBTQ way of lifestyle and kind of exploiting it mm-hmm. for something that it really isn't. So the way I handle this in my house and the way I wish that we would all handle it in our own houses is, whatever your opinion is on that, I don't think that there's any justification for treating anybody with anything less than kindness, unless they've disrespected you. And if somebody disrespects you and they're a different walk of life than you, and they're disrespecting you, then they're a jerk. They don't need to fit into a demographic of jerk. They're just a jerk. So we treat people with love and kindness, and then you handle those situations at home with love and affection, and you teach at home how you want to raise your kids up. And hopefully you teach them that no matter what you're doing in life, you can have beliefs, you can have thoughts, they can completely agree with the movement, they can completely disagree with the movement, and you can raise good people who believe different things, which is where she comes in. I'm going to play this when we come back, because she's a lesbian, but she comes out in this video and she's not coming out as a lesbian. She's coming out as a conservative. And hearing her message and hearing her talk about the pressure and the kind of bullying that goes along with the, just the, how dare she think a different way, mm-hmm. be different. And a movement that teaches love and acceptance, she wants to show that there are more types of people in a specific movement. That's what I feel like where I am on this issue. We need to raise our kids. We need to teach our kids the things that are important in life that have to be rooted in love and kindness and compassion. And then you can go into, if you have religious beliefs about specific things, nobody can take those away from you. Here's Pete Buttigieg.
Religious and nonprofit institutions like colleges and homeless charities should lose their federal funding if they refuse to hire or serve LGBTQ people.
Yes, if they are discriminating, then they should not be doing it with federal dollars.
Okay. So we have a situation here where Pete Buttigieg says that religious institutions, like he said, higher learning or homeless shelters, if those religions say that they're not okay with the LGBT community, that they should lose their federal funding, how do you feel about that? I've said so many times, why can't we treat Planned Parenthood this same way? You can give women's health organizations federal funding, but not if they choose to participate in abortion. Fund women's health, don't fund abortion. We fund public education, we don't fund religious public education because it's not there. We cross over ourselves so many times with these really touchy issues. They're very hard to talk about. They're important to talk about. And in this day and age where you have Bernie Sanders saying that he's ruling out all old white guys to be his VP, man, the identity politics, hard to follow. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.